Game on 2FM.
With Gillette. Great performances begin with a comfortable close shave from Gillette. Gillette, making men's lives just that little bit easier.
Game on 2FM.
Weekdays from 7.
All right, we're talking football. Alan Cawley is with me in the studio. On the line we have Kevin Palmer. Kev, you're there?
Evening, how are we?
Yeah, good to talk to you. And Eamon Dunphy is with us on the line. How is your Cheltenham, Eamon?
Very good.
Was it? Excellent.
Yes,
excellent.
I ended up in front. Not spectacularly good, but pretty good. Back to last winner. And
brilliant.
Happy days.
Yeah, so did Alan. He bought back the last winner as well. And yep. I'm up as well from the week. And you're, what are
I'm
you?
Up, yeah.
Up as well.
Yeah,
wow, good week.
I'd say the goat tail is up as well.
The goat tail is up in money and out of beer, I can tell you, after the week that's been in it. But look, we'll get on to the football. Kevin, your reaction to Manchester City facing Liverpool in the Champions League, probably not the draw that Jurgen Klopp would have wanted, is it?
I think it's sad in a way. When you're in the Champions League, you want to play foreign opposition, and I think it would have been better if those two teams had, I mean, if you meet in the semi-final, then you've done well to get that far. But I think to meet in the quarter-final, probably not the draw Klopp wanted. I think they would have wanted the second leg at home particularly. But if you look at the reaction of Tixi Begiristein, the Man City chief at the draw, he rolled his eyes and put his head into his tummy. He wasn't too happy about the whole thing either. So I think, you know, do you really want to be playing domestic matches, especially when they've both got derby games either side, you know, sandwiched in between these two vital Champions League games? I think the one advantage City have got is obviously they've basically got the league wrapped up already, so Liverpool will be still trying to get into the top four, and that could play a part. But you would fancy, even though I think we can all look forward to two really good games, I think you'd fancy Man City to come through over two matches.
I'm sure Liverpool wasn't top of Pep Guardiola's wish list either, Eamon.
No, I mean, Liverpool beat them at Anfield and scored four goals against them. And in the first game at the Etihad, before Mane was sent off, Liverpool were on top and could easily have been two goals in front. But then Liverpool's defence kicked in with one of their typical errors, and Aguero was in for the first goal, and that meant in the end a comfortable win for City, I think 4-0. But I think Liverpool are capable of really testing City's defence. Mm. And City's defence isn't often tested, so I think it's a really interesting tie, and I wouldn't put the mortgage money on City to win it.
No, I actually, Liverpool could be a bit of value. Just to read out the full draw is Sevilla hosting Bayern Munich, Juventus take on Real Madrid, Barcelona have Roma, Liverpool, Man City, we've just discussed Roma, and then the second legs obviously will flip those around. But what do you think? Liverpool, I don't know, I'd love to see them kind of have a real go at Manchester City here, but I'm sure the Pep Guardiola is thinking, of all the teams that could have got, actually, Liverpool are probably one of the last teams he would have picked.
I agree, Hugh. Out of the eight that's left, I'd say he would have wanted to avoid Liverpool, because probably maybe them and Spurs, definitely Liverpool, probably only Spurs as well, I think are capable of actually going and taking them on in a game and going toe to toe to them. And Liverpool have been the only one that have proved that this season by beating them. So out of all the teams that are left, I don't think Pep will be too happy with that draw. I really don't. I think Liverpool can trouble them, the attacking prowess they have, the pace and the intensity that they play as well. It's going to be really, really interesting, these two games.
Okay, I want to move on to Jose Mourinho, because he kind of grabbed the headlines all by himself today when he came out for his usual pre-match press conference and had a 12-minute rant, pre-prepared, referring to his notes throughout, on his record in the Champions League and Manchester United's poor recent record in the return from the Champions League. Let's have a listen to a little bit of what he said.
For some reason, you go to the Champions League quarterfinal like today, and there are there four clubs that they are always there. Barcelona is always there in the past 7-8 years. Real Madrid is always there in the past 7-8 years. Juventus is always there. Bayern Munich is always there. And then, of course, appears now and again another club, like my Inter, like some other clubs, like Monaco. The ones that are always there is for some reason. And the good thing for me and the amazing feeling for me is that I am exactly in the same page as the owners, as Mr. Woodward, as Mr. Arnold, we are exactly in the same page.
Yeah, there's an old expression, Eamon Dunphy, if you're explaining, you're losing. And I just get the feeling that Jose Mourinho, after taking a lot of criticism for the way Manchester United performed over the last while, their style as much as anything else, came into this today to try and buy people back on side. It didn't really seem to work though, did it?
Not really. I think when you're making sort of self-serving remarks, attempting to, you know, defend yourself, and your manager, Manchester United, it doesn't really work. He made some very clumsy remarks and tasteless remarks, really, after the game on Wednesday as well, or Tuesday rather. So I think Jose is in trouble. To some extent, he inherited Van Gaal's Manchester United, which wasn't great. The legacy wasn't great from Van Gaal. But he hasn't really improved it dramatically. And he's made mistakes. I mean, the other night he played Rashford in his wrong position. He scored two goals in his right position, or at least in a better position off the left against Liverpool last weekend. And then he moved him to accommodate Sanchez, who looks tired and burnt out and didn't play well. The style, he had Fellaini in instead of Juan Mata. Now that's a statement. You're going for the sort of crude physical way rather than the footballing way, which is Manchester United style traditionally. He's in trouble, and I don't know who he's talking to. You see, these guys are never talking to the fans or the media. They're talking to their bosses, and they're talking to potential bosses the next club he goes to. So this is a self-serving statement. It wasn't very convincing. I don't think anybody thinks he's done a good job at Manchester United. What he has done, he's stabilised things somewhat. In other words, they are likely to qualify as a top four team for the Champions League next year. But he is responsible, ultimately, for the arrival of Pogba, which is the biggest waste of €100 million that I've ever seen and that there's ever been in soccer. And he's got to answer for that. He changes his team every week. Nobody has a clue what his best team is. And he's not doing a very good job.
Kevin, you made the point on Twitter today. Why is Mourinho pointing out how rubbish Manchester United have been in the Champions League in recent years when he's being paid millions to change that record?
Well, that's what he's there for. And I mean, it just struck me. I don't know if you will all remember the famous Benitez fax rant, which is 8 years ago, amazingly. It makes us all feel old. But he went in front of the cameras and had a go at Alex Ferguson, started listing out facts of why he was great and why Ferguson was wrong. And in a way, it felt similar today, that Mourinho was somehow trying to justify himself by saying everyone else at Manchester United has failed, so why are you having a go at me? But the issue here, I think, is Mourinho's always tried to make it's all about me, and he's the centre of attention. When you're at a club like Chelsea, with the best will in the world, they're a reasonably small club in the grand scheme of things in the history of football, and he was kind of the biggest man in Chelsea's history. He's now gone to a club where he is by far not the biggest man in the history of this football club. He's not he can't throw himself around the way he's done at Chelsea and got away with it, and I think the Man United fans, a lot of them didn't want him there in the first place, and they're kind of almost waiting for him to fail and waiting for a moment to say, this is not the guy for us. I know Alan's a fan of United, and I wonder what Alan would think, but I don't think a lot of United fans want Mourinho there in the first place. And what's happened this week, it's almost like he got away with it against Liverpool last weekend. They didn't play well. He got away with it against Palace. He didn't really play great against Chelsea. They've had a few streaky wins recently, and this accident has been waiting to happen, and now it's here, and let's see how the United fans react to it. I don't think they're going to be too keen on Mourinho long term. It's going to run out sooner rather than later for me.
Alan, we've had a text in there from Eamon Kildare. Says in you know, the aftermath of a defeat to Sevilla over two legs where they were just a shambles, and he's sitting there justifying mediocrity. It's sad.
Well, the problem with him, Hugh, and I've said it continuously over a long period of time now. He just lacks class. Basically, he lacks class. He's never had it anywhere he's been. He's antagonising. He's an egomaniac. It's all him, him, him. He came out with the stuff on Wednesday night, which was bizarre, really, after a match. And if he had to come in today to the press conference and maybe say to himself, look, the comments I made, on reflection, maybe they were the wrong things to say because he annoyed so many people, particularly after the performance, and to go out against a team like Sevilla at this stage of the competition. If he had to come into the press conference today and maybe say, look, it was a poor performance, we got it wrong, I hold my hands up, whatever. People would be sympathetic towards that kind of stuff, because at least he's been honest then. But to come into the press conference and to come out with the utter garbage about the last 5 and 6, 7 years, and the one thing that he left out was the 400 million that he's spent since he's been there. He hasn't mentioned anything about that. So it was just embarrassing, but it doesn't surprise me with him, Hugh. It really doesn't surprise me.
How long before the fans get sick of this, Eamon?
I think they're sick of it now. The real Manchester United fans, it's hard to sort out sometimes at Old Trafford, and going back to Roy Keane's prawn sandwich brigade remarks, it's hard to fathom or sort out the real fans from the sort of, you know, the tourists, as it were.
Yeah.
Well, it's a fact. That's why they are the wealthiest club in the world. And they are way ahead of, they're ahead of Madrid and all these other clubs. But it's been a long time now since they've had the team that would reflect that wealth. I mean, they've two converted wingers at fullback. They've Chris Smalling at centre half. If it wasn't for their goalkeeper, De Gea, they'd have been in bigger trouble. They'd be in bigger trouble,
yeah,
than they are. They've wasted 100 million buying Pogba, a player no one else was prepared to pay that kind of money for. They don't really have good players. You know, they're a million miles away from Real Madrid or Barcelona or even Bayern Munich. They're way, way down. And if the Premier League was starting again tomorrow, you know, and there was a handicap, you'd handicap them with 20 points against Manchester City, who ironically will probably win the league when they play United in a couple of weeks' time. And that will rub salt in the wounds. He's not the right guy. And there is an argument to say that his style of football now is old-fashioned and redundant, a little bit like Martin O'Neill, although he's a much better manager than Martin O'Neill ever was, or certainly is. But that sort of attritional Fellaini long ball punted forward thing that worked last week against Liverpool, two long balls to the goalkeeper, two goals, but that's not football anymore.
Okay.
And I think he's past his sell by date.
Well, we're going to pick this up on Monday, guys, because unfortunately we're just out of time. Eamon, enjoy the weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday night. Kevin, thanks so much as well, guys. Appreciate your time. Thanks a lot.
Cheers.